The Old Testament reading today is Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The reading can be found on page 555 of the Pew Bibles and on page 859 of the large print Bibles. Psalm 23, beginning verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everybody. It's good to be with you. I probably don't know a good number of you. My name is Rob, Sandy introduced me, and I work at the university as the chaplain there and also with the Evangelical Christian Union, and you guys know James well, him and Joe as well. So it's good to be with you. It's a bit strange to be with, or I haven't been here for quite some time, so it's a great privilege. And also, maybe slightly daunting to be with you this morning as well, not because of you guys in particular, but this psalm, Psalm 23. It's a well-known psalm. A good number of you will know it off by heart, and a good number of you will treasure it greatly in your heart, and it's been of great comfort and assurance over many years, perhaps. It's a bit daunting to have to unpack that today. So I'm going to need to pray. And I hope you'll say amen as I unpack this psalm this morning. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, you are our shepherd. Please guide and direct my words that they might be your words. Please guide and direct our hearts this morning to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 23, a psalm of David, is what it says. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. That's it, basically. We pack up and go home, and you've actually got the psalm in a nutshell. The Lord is my shepherd. Everything else from then on is basically commentary on that little phrase. It's, if you like, the rest of the psalm is shepherded and guided by those words. The Lord is my shepherd. Of course, King David, who wrote these words, began his life as a shepherd. Well, at least his working life as a shepherd boy. And he identifies with the sheep. Now, it was lovely to have Sandy recount, you know, his experience and on the farm earlier on and the great care that was taken by, it was your father-in-law, is that right? Looking after the sheep, and that was very touching. But as we know, as we urban Aussies know, sheep are stupid and pitiful creatures. And why on earth you would want to identify yourself with a sheep is beyond most of us. I mean, if you had the choice of identifying with an animal, you wouldn't choose a sheep. If you had the choice, surely it would be something like a lion or a bear or something of some pride, something which you could rejoice in, but a sheep, a dim-witted sheep, surely is at the end of the list of things. Yes, economically valuable, but stupid. David goes with the sheep. Well, at least the focus is not so much on him being a sheep, but the focus is on the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, not many people think of needing a shepherd. I actually looked up shepherd on seek.com. There were no entries. No one is seeking a sheep, shepherd. Which is surprising if David is right, because whatever a shepherd actually does, and if you're anything like me, I'm not really all that sure, whatever shepherd actually does, with the Lord as his shepherd, he lacks nothing. We know that sheep are stupid, pitiful creatures that lack most things. That lack speed, they seem to lack intelligence, they seem to lack a lot of things. And perhaps if David were here, he may not argue with that. But rather simply, he states, when the Lord is your shepherd, who cares? You lack nothing. You've got everything. Ironically, we Aussies, who would, I argue, would never identify with a sheep, are getting increasingly nervous and anxious a lot, aren't we? About life, about the future. And we are people who are very aware of what we lack and what we want but don't have. I don't know what it is for you, but is it job security? Confidence about the future? A house? Is it health? Or friends? Or maybe just air conditioning? What do you feel like you lack and need? Or maybe closer to home for you personally. Maybe you have that great skill of being able to recount at a moment's notice all of your deficiencies that you have, everything that you lack. I've got bad skin, I've got bad breath, I don't know how to hold a conversation with anybody, no conversational skills, I don't know how to encourage people, or I do know how to encourage people, I just don't know how to stop talking. I'm too negative, I'm too introspective. Maybe you're one of those people that can catalogue at a moment's notice everything that's wrong with you. Whatever it is, whatever you feel like you lack, the Lord this morning from this psalm wants to refresh your vision and wants you to see properly and see things as he sees them. If the Lord is your shepherd, you lack nothing. Your deficiencies are zero. You have no deficit. He abundantly provides everything. He always refreshes his flock, those who follow him. He aptly supplies everything that is needed in just the right time. He always refreshes his sheep. Now, it's a bold statement to say you lack no thing, because I think most of you don't believe it. Because I don't believe it either. I mean, I believe it whether I read it, but I don't believe it in practice. I battle daily with the feeling like I need more things, maybe not necessarily stuff, but I lack the ability to. And we're told again and again that we don't have what we need. We aren't what we should be. Partly because we've spent a whole lifetime being shepherded by the world that keeps telling us that we don't have what we need. Do you know it's the aim of the advertising industry to generate dissatisfaction? That's what you have to do. If you're going to make sales, you have to tell people that they're dissatisfied either with what they already have or dissatisfied with what, because they don't have. Advertising does it all the time. It's just the air that we breathe. You know that how it goes? You know, are you still fighting with that old handheld vacuum cleaner? Get rid of it now, even though we sold it to you 2 years ago. Get rid of it now and have this new robotic one where you don't have to do anything except replace it in a couple of years' time. When the new robotic one comes out that's got, I don't know, maybe it flies around the room, or I have no idea, but it generates dissatisfaction. Advertising is just an example of the way our world works, to generate dissatisfaction. And most people won't notice it, but we are indeed pitiful sheep. The world is our shepherd and will always be in want of something. The Lord as shepherd is vastly different, always refreshing. Notice, what does he say? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Don't know if you've noticed, but sheep don't usually lie down. By nature, they're nervous creatures, standing alert, ready for any danger. It sounds like a bit of persuasion here, but he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Not turbulent and threatening, but quiet. He refreshes my soul. God wants his sheep to be relaxed about the future. And Jesus echoes this in Matthew 11. This psalm isn't actually quoted anywhere in the New Testament. Lots of allusions to it. And here I think in Matthew 11, Jesus is picking up some of the ideas. In verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The Lord Jesus, whom King David calls his Lord in another psalm, he wants his disciples, his sheep, to be relaxed about daily life, to not sweat the small stuff. If the Lord Jesus is your shepherd, you lack nothing. And also, point three, he always leads the way. He always leads the way. Psalm 23, verse 3, "He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." You might have learnt this verse, as it says in most versions, "as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And the Hebrew original is literally the valley of death. But the way it gets used, that phrase gets used in the Old Testament, is not just of people dying, though that is true, but going through dark and threatening times. Hence we end up with darkest valley here. It's the shadow of death. It might be death, but you can maybe not quite taste death, but it's close enough to be able to see it in the shadows. Close enough for the sheep to perhaps call out, "Lord, can we go back to the green pasture?" But the pasture is not the destination for the sheep. The sheep's not wandered off stupidly. He's being led by the Lord into, and more importantly, through dark and troubling times. But he doesn't need to fear the evil. "For Lord, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David here directly addresses the Lord, notice. "You are with me." He changes who he's talking to. "Your rod and your staff bring comfort." David wants us to see, his readers to see, that the Lord is with us in the darkest of hours. But because he's left us, he's leading us through. You might think that the Lord as a shepherd would lead his sheep away from the darkest valley. Surely there's another valley that's like a little bit brighter and a little bit warmer, a little bit where I can see where I'm going. I'd even be happy for him to tranquilise this sheep as we go through the darkest valley and just truck me through and bring me out at the other end and I'll carry on from there. But he says, don't fear. The Lord is with you. With him, there's as much light and as warmth and clarity as you need, though the hour is dark. In this last week, we've heard of deaths of friends in the Lord. Mike Ovey was one of my lecturers at Moore College, about 58 years old, more recently the principal of Oak Hill College in England, a massive intellect and formidable opponent, a giant in England for the evangelical cause. Massive heart attack. The Lord's called him home. Closer to home, Nathan Jensen, 16-year-old son of Andrew and Ruth, the assistant minister at Janelli Anglican, with the Lord at 16, after enduring almost 2 years of cancer. You'll have your own valley of darkness that oppresses you, that worries you. You'll have the events or the thoughts, the things that have happened in the past, the things that you're worried about in the future, that press in on you darkly. The Lord says to us, to these families, to you, don't fear, I'm with you. I've led you and will lead you through the darkest valley and into victory. That's where he's taking us. Verse 5. You, Lord, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. The picture here is a victory feast prepared by the Lord, with the defeated enemies present. You anoint my head with oil. The anointing here, the word anointing is not the kingly Messiah anointing word, but to fatten, which doesn't really work for us, do it? You fatten my head with oil. In other words, there's plenty of it, and my cup overflows. There's heaps of it. There's a cascading of abundance. The great enemy of death need not be feared. It's a defeated enemy. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy to be destroyed is death, verse 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how one 19th century commentator puts it. When anticipating the solemn hour of death, when the soul is ready to halt and ask, how shall it be? Can you turn to your Lord and say, there's nothing in death to harm me, while your love is left to me? Can you say, death, where is your sting? It is said that when a bee has left its sting in anyone, it has no more power to hurt. Death has left its sting in the Lord Jesus Christ and has no more power to harm his child. Christ's victory over the grave is his people's victory as well. Friends, can you say that with great confidence? Death, where is your sting? It has no power over me. The Lord wants you to know for sure and be confident even about the darkest valley, even about your own death, that he leads you where you need to go. For our Lord always refreshes, always leads to his destination and for his purpose. As Christians, we know the great destination of Psalm 23. Sometimes we miss, though, the purpose of the Lord leading us. He leads us in right paths for his namesake. Righteousness is where the Lord is leading us. And righteousness takes us to some places we don't wish to go. Life would be so much easier if we didn't have to live righteously, if we didn't have to disagree with our society about things like sexual expression, if we didn't have to disagree with our society about how it treats unborn children. But righteousness is far more important than our ease, isn't it? But notice, it's not for our sake, but it's for the sake of the Lord's name is why we walk. It's for his purposes. We live not as just sheep happening to be going along the way that we go, but we live for the Lord Jesus, being led by him. That's why Jesus wants us to be relaxed about our needs. Remember, he says, the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He wants you to be relieved from the concerns of today, because our concerns are for the shepherd's kingdom and his righteousness, not for food and drink. They'll be supplied. The pasture and the stream are great places. The easing of anxiety and worry is a welcome relief, but they're not our destination. The sheep doesn't remain in the pasture, but is led into the house of the Lord. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If we follow Jesus as our shepherd, we are with the Lord in his house. We will remain with the Lord in his house forever. Spurgeon, from the pen of Spurgeon, says, goodness and mercy will follow him always, all the days of his life, the black days as well as the bright days, the days of fasting as well as the days of feasting, the dreary days of winter as well as the bright days of summer. Goodness supplies our needs, and mercy blots out our sins, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A servant lives not in the house forever, but a son lives forever. Where I am here on this earth, I will be a child at home with God. The whole world shall be his house to me. And when I ascend into the upper chamber, I shall not change my company, nor even change my house. I shall only go to dwell in the upper story of the house of the Lord forever. It's a beautiful image, isn't it? If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, you dwell in God's house. We all dwell in God's house now. We are with him. The dark times have no fear for us. Even death is just going upstairs to the upper chamber. Friends, God wants you to be relaxed and confident about that future, because with Jesus as the Good Shepherd, he always refreshes, always leads to be with the Lord forever. Sheep are stupid, timid, nervous creatures. But in the end, they only really need to know one thing to be able to be good sheep. And that's follow the right shepherd. You can be the most pitiful, stupid creature and follow the right person. Follow the Lord Jesus and be the most wealthy, victorious creature that has ever lived. You may feel as stupid as all get out, but if you follow the Lord Jesus, you are the richest, most secure that you could ever be. May that be your richness this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us. Indeed, you lead us so kindly, supplying all our need. You lead us so carefully through the darkest of valleys. And you lead us into victory in the Lord Jesus, to dwell with you forever. Give us confidence, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.